Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. We're going to be talking this morning predominantly about the Apostle Paul, but we're also going to have an opportunity through video to go to the location where the morning sermon is going to come from. So we're going to actually be on Paul's first missionary journey in not too long as I can get that far. But I want to set up a few things, first of all, regarding the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." Galatians chapter 1 kind of has a short testimony of Paul and about his conversion to Jesus Christ and his move into the ministry and how God did that. But what do we know about the Apostle Paul, first of all, from these couple of verses in Galatians? We can slide through these verses without really looking hard at them to see what are they talking about. What is Paul saying in his testimony here in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16? He's been called by God. So as we watch this video and talk about Paul's ministry, and even as we delve into it in the ministry of the Word this morning, when in the preaching of the Word, we need to remember that Paul had a very convincing sense of God's call on his life. What else does this verse tell us? And that's an important thing. We're going to talk about that more as we go through.
His grace.
God's grace. When you look at that, when Paul looked at everything that happened, and you think about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it's amazing how much of the New Testament revolves around how God used this man. And how does Paul view the fact that he was so effective in the ministry? By God's grace. And I thought about that even as I thought of our own testimonies. You know, if anything good comes out of our lives, where does it come from? Yeah, the same place. It comes from God's grace working in and through us, being willing to use us as ministers of Jesus Christ. And so we see here Paul as a very acute awareness of God's grace, an acute awareness of God's call on his life. Anything else you see in this verse?
He's sent to the Gentiles.
He's sent to the Gentiles. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. I'm not going to delve into that too much yet because we're going to come back to it in a minute. But it's interesting, of all the people to be sent to the Gentiles, we're going to talk a little bit more about Paul's background in a minute and say, why Paul? It's a very interesting situation that God uses there. He's sent to the Gentiles, called by God's grace, had a keen sense of his call. What else do we get from these verses? There's a lot in these two short verses. When did God call him? Yeah, but when he was set me apart before I was born. Were there times in Paul's life when that might have been a doubtful in the minds of some of the Christians? Yeah, before Paul was ever born, he looked back and he said, God set me apart. But God had a journey for Paul to take before he was an instrument useful in his hands. Why did God do that? We'll talk about that in a minute. I just want you to think about, why did God bring him down that journey from the point of before he was born, selecting him to be a minister and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, but brought him through an interesting path to get there? Okay, so before he was born, Paul was called. He had a very intense awareness of that calling. He realized he was called by grace. He realized he was called to the Gentiles. There's one other thing in there in the beginning of verse 16. And how does he put that, that Christ was revealed to him? Think about Paul for a minute. Was Paul an educated man or was he a simple man? He was a very educated man. And yet when he talked about Christ, how does he bring that about, or how does he discuss it in the beginning of verse 16? He said, it pleased God to do what?
To reveal him.
And I look at that and I think, even in a man who had every reason to be proud and arrogant, and we're going to talk about his accomplishments in just a minute, he said, when I look back at my salvation, I realized it was God's call on my life, not because of who I am, but because of who God is, that he called me to this ministry. Not only that, but he called me before I was born. So it wasn't because of my intelligence. It wasn't because of my educational accomplishments. It wasn't because of my leadership skills. He chose me by his grace. He revealed his son to me, even though I had all of this education. What was Paul doing when the son was revealed to him? Yeah, he was hardly a seeker like we think of a seeker looking after Christ, was he? He was seeking, all right. You know, he was seeking Christians to put them to death. And so in the midst of all this, Paul said, God was pleased to reveal his son to me because he had a mission for me, to preach Christ to the Gentiles. With all of that in mind, flip over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, starting in verse 4, what are some of the things that we know about the Apostle Paul? And you may know some of these without ever going into them, but what do we know about this man? From your background, from this passage, the passage is kind of to jog your memory a little bit, but what do we know about the Apostle Paul?
He was a Pharisee in the house of Hillel.
He was a Pharisee of the house of Hillel, and why is even that house an important thing? He was a very conservative, come from the conservative realm of things, very orthodox. He called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So did he buy into it or not? A big time Paul bought into this. He's a Pharisee. Not only that, but he sat under the feet of what famous teacher in his day? Gamaliel. He was a follower, a disciple of Gamaliel at one time. So he has all of this pedigree behind him, but it's pedigree that's Jewish pedigree. Again, it's not Christian pedigree. It's Jewish philosophy, it's Jewish religion. So when Paul comes into contact with teaching about someone who said they were the Messiah that was crucified by the Jewish leaders, what's Paul's natural reaction to that? That guy's a heretic. And when Christianity starts to spread, we look at Paul and think, well, what an evil man. But what is Paul doing when he attacks Christianity?
Being religious.
Yeah, he's being as religious as he knows how to be. He is protecting the honor of God in his mind, because these Christians are calling Christ God, and what's the first thing they start off with often when they get to the synagogue and they're worshiping? The Shema. And what does it say? The Lord our God is. So what's this blasphemous guy doing saying that he's the Son of God? So he's religiously and vigorously attacking a religion that's teaching heresy as far as he's concerned. What else do we know about Paul? He was a tent maker. And what does that tell us about his character?
Very meticulous.
He was meticulous?
He was a worker.
He's a worker. Okay, and some preachers get the reputation of being loafers, don't they? You know, if you want to work one day a week, you know, become a preacher. Well, this guy's a tent maker. So he is hardworking, and often, as we go through the letters of Paul, you remember when he talks to his folks, often like the Corinthians and others, he'll say, now I could have been a burden to you, but I wasn't. He's talking about his tent making. I could have come in and say, I'm preaching to you, and it was my right as one coming in to say, so you take care of me, and instead I took care of things myself so as not to be a burden. So it's not to cause any kind of a stain on the cause of Christ as I'm coming through there, but to give you the truth. So he's a hardworking guy. What else do we know about the Apostle Paul?
He's from the tribe of Benjamin.
He's from the tribe of Benjamin. Why is that important?
Well, that's the tribe Saul came from.
Okay. Lots of interesting things happened out of that tribe of Benjamin. And who was Benjamin?
The youngest, the smallest.
Yeah, a very beloved character in scriptures. And so there's something just special about that tribe of Benjamin, isn't there? And so here he is, he says, now I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm from a pretty special tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, yeah.
Benjamin was the only one in the state of Judah in the southern kingdom also.
Correct. When God wiped everything out and took the 10 tribes away, one of the two tribes that were preserved is part of the remnant. Okay, so all of that's going on. So he said, look at this. Here's my pedigree. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. And he says, as to the law, a Pharisee. So I'm not only one who studies the law, but I'm very conservative about it. I'm holding the line. And he goes on further and says here, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. So he said, it's because of my love for God that I'm going out of my way to go after the church, because they aren't teaching as a Pharisee what I believe they ought to be teaching. They're perverting the truth. And then he says, as to the righteousness under the law, what? Blameless. So what's he trying to say there? Is he trying to say he's perfect?
He said according to the law, he was
Yeah, so Paul was one, can we say that he practiced what he preached? He said, well, you know, when it comes to all this stuff I'm telling you, I'm following it. Was that normal among the Pharisees?
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus went after the Pharisees, he called them what all the time?
Hypocrites.
You know, why did they get so angry with him? Because here they are, the respected Pharisees, and Jesus is looking at them as they teach, and as they supposedly lead these people, the people of God, and he said, you're hypocrites. Because you say one thing, and you do another.
Paul is clearly the pick of the litter.
Yeah, this is a prime Pharisee here. This is a very special man who's working through all this. And then he said in verse 7 of chapter 3, but whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. So we go back to Galatians chapter 1, and Paul said, you know, up until the point when I'm walking down that road to Damascus to tear apart the church in Damascus as well as I had been tearing apart the church in Jerusalem, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I am committed to what I'm doing. As Don said, I am the pick of the litter. You want to find one of the best Pharisees walking? It's me. And I am doing everything I can out of a heart that's genuinely seeking after God, but he was genuinely wrong. And on that road, he comes into contact with Jesus Christ, and he says in Galatians chapter 1, we looked at verses 15 and 16, he'd set me apart, he called me by his grace. Paul never lost the wonder of the grace of the experience that happened on the road to Damascus. Because he said, other than the intervention of God in my life, through the truth of Jesus Christ, and did Paul have a dramatic conversion? I mean, you ever have somebody ask you to give your testimony? And some of you are probably like me. I mean, I grew up, and my mom was a Christian. And so I acted like a Christian before I was a Christian. Otherwise, I got a whooping at home, okay? So I don't have one of these testimonies that would say, you know, I used to smoke and drink and do drugs and was one of the 10 most wanted, and God saved me. But you look at Paul, and he's got one of those amazing testimonies. I was killing Christians. I was destroying the church. And not only did God save me, but who's the messenger that God sent to deliver the gospel? Yeah, he runs into Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. You know, the bright light, and those around him don't understand. And as Paul shares that testimony later in the book of Acts, we'll see it as we get to Acts chapter 22 and 25 and 26. Paul realizes, you know what? Jesus Christ stopped my whole caravan on the road to Damascus for one reason. There's only one guy in that whole group that understood the words that were being said. You realize that? Jesus Christ called out to Paul, and the rest of them heard a loud noise, but they didn't understand, according to Paul, what was said. Jesus Christ stopped and reached out for me. And that was grace. It wasn't because of who I was. It was because of who he is. And then he went on and he said, he revealed his son to me in order that I might preach among the Gentiles. Now, especially as we're going to see this video in just a moment, I want you to keep in mind, why Paul and why the Gentiles? To me, if I was picking it, and I'm not as smart as God, obviously, but you look at it, if I was going to pick Paul to be an evangelist, who is he the perfect evangelist to? He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was known for being zealous for the Jewish faith, and suddenly, like that, God turns him and turns him to Christ, and I'm thinking, he'd make a great Jewish evangelist. Was he? Yeah, don't lose that. He was, yeah.
It's worthy of pointing out, though, every time he went on missionary journey to new town, he went to the synagogue first, and they then rejected him.
Yes, and that's what we're going to see. That's good, because that's what we're going to see in the video, and that's kind of one of my next points looking at that. Every time he goes, and we're going to see that in the message this morning as well, Paul has a mode of operation. He walks into the town, and where does he go every time? To the synagogue. And if there isn't a synagogue, what does he find?
Find the Jews where they're meeting.
Yeah, he finds out where the Jews are meeting. Now, why does he do that?
Because it's important that he preach to them first.
Does he always get a wonderful reception?
No.
You know, who's chasing him out of town eventually? Paul's a very intelligent guy. Does he know that? Does he get to the end of the third missionary journey and say, whoa, maybe I did this wrong? If I'd have just stayed out of the synagogue, I wouldn't have been beaten and thrown in prison and chased all over the place and gotten people riled up against me. He knows exactly what he's doing. So the question becomes, why is he doing that?
He had credentials.
He had credentials. He had the ability to do that.
God showed him things that he would have to suffer for.
Yeah, he did.
He was aware of the suffering that was ahead.
And we're going to start the message this morning. I got to be careful. I'll preach my morning message, and y'all will go home after Sunday school. But you know, Romans 1:16, he said, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So he said, "I feel an obligation to go to that Jew first, because it's the culmination of our whole Jewish heritage and history. It's in Christ." But every time, as Chip said, when they rejected him, he said, "Now I'm going to the Gentiles," and God foreordained that too. That was not a mistake. So we're going to go into the video next, and then we'll pick it up from there afterwards for a few minutes and recap some of that. But keeping all that in mind as we see this first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. All right, thinking about what you've just seen and correlating it with what we've talked about already this morning, what stands out? There's a few things I have, so if you don't share something, I'm going to share anyway. But what stands out for you in your mind at this point after viewing that? What's going on?
How God was leading Paul to the different cities.
Yeah, God,
to the different people.
God's got a specific plan in mind, doesn't he? Anything else? In with that, let me walk down that road a little bit, because it's one of the things that really stuck out for me as I was studying this week and as I was studying the sermon and things. We talked about the fact of Paul's background. Paul's background is a Pharisee of the Pharisees. It's quite likely that he memorized huge sections of Hebrew scriptures. And here stands Paul in the synagogue that morning on the Sabbath as part of the worship service, and after they have recited the Shema, after they have read from the law, after they have read from the prophets, they look over and they see this visiting Jew. Maybe they knew Paul's reputation as a Pharisee, maybe not, I don't know, the scripture doesn't tell us. But they ask him, "Brothers, do you have anything to share with us?" And Paul gets up, and what does he share? Now, if you don't have this, I'm going to feel really disappointed, because he gave it to you, and I've been preaching it for 2 weeks. So what does he share when Paul gets up?
First, he shared the history of the Jewish people.
Now, did Paul say, "Hang on now, you want me to do this next week? I need to get my notes in order. I need to get ready." No, Paul stood up and he goes through the whole history of Israel. Why was he able to do that? He already knew it. God had already prepared this man along the journey of life for a moment when he arrived at Antioch of Pisidia and stood in the synagogue with an opportunity, and he was able to change the whole focus of history for the Jewish nation. Kind of. Not totally. You know, what was their focus? What were they looking for?
Messiah.
What was Messiah going to do?
Bring peace.
Yeah, whip the Romans and set up peace and set up his kingdom. And so they're looking for a Messiah, and what does Paul do? Paul gives them one. Was it the Messiah they were expecting? But was it the Messiah that was already prophesied that they'd been reading about? So Paul's about to tie all this together. Now, Paul takes all of that history and points it to Jesus Christ on the fly. And then where does he go next? I'm really stretching your memories now. If you really get stuck, turn to Acts chapter 13. But where does he go from that history? He points to Christ, and then he goes to a second topic. All of prophecy points to Christ. Now, does he just get up and say, "Now, gentlemen, all of prophecy points to Christ, and you need to understand that"? How does he do it?
He goes through the
prophecy. He starts quoting prophecy. He didn't pull out his smartphone to get help and hints on what prophecy to pull. You know, he didn't, "Hey Siri, hey Google, I need some prophecy right now that points to the Messiah." How did he do that? God prepared him all along the way. He was ready for that. And not only did he talk about the prophets, not only did he talk about all of Israel's history culminating in the Messiah, who was Jesus Christ, whom they missed the first appearance of, by the way. You know, and he's giving them all of that. But then where does he go after that? He hits their history. They love their history. They're rich in their history and tradition. He hits their prophecy. They love their prophecy. But what do they love even more than their prophecy and their tradition? They love the law. They were the ones who were given the privilege of guarding and keeping the law of God. And so where does Paul go next? Right straight to the law.
How did he do that? God prepared him every step of the way for that moment. Because as we go back to Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it said, "But when he who set me apart before I was born..." God chose Paul to have a very specific ministry, and he prepared him every step of the way. And as I read that and I meditated and I thought about that this week, I had to think about our lives. Do circumstances happen in your life just by mistake? Is it just coincidence that things happen in your background? Why are we walking the road we're walking as Christians? Yeah, God led us there, and God knew where you would be today. How long ago? Yeah, we could fill in Paul's verse. Now, we couldn't quite fill it in the way Paul does, but before you were born, he knew exactly where you'd be. He knew what neighborhood you were going to be living in 2018. He knows what people you're going to run across this week. Is he smart enough to prepare you for the challenges of sharing Jesus Christ to those folks? I am amazed by the connections that I have with people as I walk through life at times. I shouldn't be. But there I am talking to somebody, suddenly realize we have a common something in our background. What a coincidence. Is it a coincidence? God's at work. And we need to, just like Paul, be ready to use all of those things in our lives as God gives us opportunities. Now, he does that in the midst of our Christian walk as well, doesn't he? You ever have somebody minister to you because they've walked through the same road that you're walking through now? That's 1 Corinthians 1. God said, a lot of the things you suffer so that you can give hope and help to those who are going through the same thing later. And so I look at all that, and I was encouraged as I saw what Paul was able to do because of the fact that all of that up to that point, all of it that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he counted as what? Lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. But what did Christ Jesus do with that? He turned it into a gain. Not for Paul's benefit, but for the benefit of the gospel. So that, I was excited when I saw that. What else did you see in that video as we talked about where Paul was in Antioch? Yeah, Gary.
He was rejected at one time, but on the overall, he was very much accepted. And I think that's because of all of his abilities. Very hard to turn down and say, oh, you're a bunch of hogwash. I mean, he was very well educated. But he seemed to be accepted by the Gentiles as well as the Jews in its own little way.
It's interesting to find out, how did Paul gain such acceptance? Because when you look at the word, did Paul look at his congregation and water down the word so as not to offend anybody sitting there? You think about that message in Antioch of Pisidia that people were amazed at. One, he looked at the Jews and said, your whole history points to a Messiah, by the way, that you did what? You crucified him. You killed him. You didn't accept him, just like the prophet said you wouldn't. What does that make them? Hey, they're guilty. How many of you like when people put a finger on you and you're guilty? And how many of you like it when you know you really are? It's one thing when you're not guilty, but they were guilty. And Paul doesn't water down the message for that. And he looks at these Jewish folks in this synagogue and some Gentiles, but who were the Gentiles sitting there the first day? They were the Gentile proselytes. They were in the process of becoming as Jewish as they were going to be able to become, not being born Jews. And he looks at them and says, the gospel that I'm going to share with you, the good news of God, is for you. It's the culmination of your history, but it's not for you only. It's also for... Is that a popular message? So how do we get from unpopular message about the fact that you're guilty? And the whole first third of his message points to that. In fact, so does the next two points of his message. And the prophet said you were going to be stubborn and hard-hearted. Now, how does that hit you? Y'all are stubborn, hard-hearted people. How many of you are coming back next week? I'm going to be going down to Lowe's to fill out an application because I'm going to need a job. And there's Paul, and he looks and he says, the message you ignored. And it's because the prophet said you'd be stubborn and hard-hearted and you'd ignore it. And he doesn't stop there, does he? And I look, I say, Paul, you're not going to win friends and influence people this way. They tell us that's not the way to do it. Because he goes to the law, and what does he say about the law? Does he disparage the law? No.
Paul honors the law. But what does he say about it? Remember the man I talked about that you crucified? All of the law was fulfilled in him. Now, how does that hit the Jews? That's exactly how it hits them. Wow, I got to get my mind around this. This is astounding. Now, as we read that passage, we find that some of them must have believed because they're following Paul and Barnabas along and they're getting all that they can get. And Paul tells them, continue on in grace. Not accept the grace of God. He says, continue on. So there's some that must be coming to the knowledge of what that is, but we're going to look this morning and we're going to find out not everybody gets there. Yeah, and Paul gets chased out, but it's interesting how he prepares and he gives the message. And what did that message do? Because, again, I don't want to preach my morning message, so I'm not going to get too far into this, but sometimes we have a belief that, you know what, I got to be careful with the gospel because if I give it to people the way it's really written here, it's going to offend people. Nobody will ever come to Christ. And yet, what happened when Paul gave it out? Pure gospel. People came to Christ. What happened when Peter gave it out at Pentecost? It's a wonder Peter survived. Because you remember where Peter was when he preached at Pentecost? What's the location? Jerusalem. What's just happened in Jerusalem not many days before? The crowd riled up, said, crucify, give us Barabbas. We'd rather have a thug and a murderer and an insurrectionist who's got nothing good going on for him than Jesus Christ. And now here stands Peter up in the middle of all these people, and he says, God did a wonderful thing in sending Jesus Christ, and you crucified him. I wouldn't want to be in Peter's shoes. In fact, I wouldn't want to be one of Peter's good friends standing around him. But what does God do on that day? He saves people because the power's in the Word. We're going to talk about that later this morning, so I'm not going to get too far into that. But anything else as we close? Anything else jump out at you from that video? Or from the passages, obviously, that we looked at. Yes,
Andy. Some of the places he was going, he knew that the Roman rulers would hear about it. Or is he was not afraid to go to where the Romans worshipped?
Yeah, and why is that important? What do we know about Rome? Who was Rome supposed to be worshipping?
Caesar.
So he stands in front of the temple dedicated to Caesar and preaches Christ. Is he looking for trouble? Whether he's looking for it or not, that's a great way to find it. And he doesn't pull any punches. And let's close with this, because the other thing that just astounds me is I thought about it, and as the teacher there on the video brought it up again, what was Paul's real heart desire for so long? Where did he want to go? Could Paul have done good in Rome? And Paul's going to get there eventually. But think of what Paul could have done if his first missionary journey had gone from Cyprus to Rome. What happens if Paul preaches the gospel to the emperor at Rome and the emperor receives Christ? What kind of... And I look at that and I say, why is God not sending Paul straight to Rome? Does it make sense to you?
They would have killed him immediately, I believe.
Maybe. But shouldn't Sergius Paulus, the secretary of state, have done the same thing when he showed up on Cyprus and preached on his gates? And instead, God worked in his heart and he said that. And that's how I look at it. I'm wondering, you know, why doesn't God just sweep through? But God's got a different plan. Now, whose plan is better, Paul's plan or God's plan? Does Paul keep trying to go to Rome? What happens?
Shipwreck and everything.
God keeps stopping him and sending him someplace else. God ever send you along the road of life someplace other than where you're planning on going? How do we react? Because I see Paul, he just keeps sharing the gospel. He keeps plowing forward. He keeps doing what God called him to do, and I get frustrated and say, God, what are you doing to me? Does Paul ever question that? We're going to see some interesting things next week because Paul's going to go into Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and he's going to get some interesting reactions to the gospel there. But nothing's going to thwart Paul because Paul is on a mission to share Jesus Christ. And I thought about that this week even. I thought, you know what? We're on the same mission. We have the same God who's prepared us in the same ways to talk to the people that he's prepared us to talk to. Are we ready and willing? Through the power of the Spirit, we're able. So what will we do with that? Let's pray.
Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to consider once again the way you work in the lives of folks, and especially in the life of the Apostle Paul. I pray that you might help us to learn lessons as we look through this over the next couple of weeks. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to the truth, even in the message this morning of the way that you worked in Antioch of Pisidia, and God, that you are the God who's in control. You are the God who has set up our lives to be at the point where we're at now, and Lord, that you are willing and able to use us if we are instruments yielded in your hands, controlled by the Spirit of God. So help us to be that we might glorify you with our lives this week. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.